Investment flash.
Oil rips, Warsh says not so fast on cuts, and emerging markets just had their best August in two decades. If you're not already awake, buddy, this one'll do it.
Good morning from the New York edition, August 31st. I'm Marie, and with me are Tom, who's already checking his oil futures, and Gerald, who's about to tell us why $90 crude is a trap. Welcome in.
Gerald's already got his PE spreadsheet open. I can feel it.
You know me, Tom. I see $90 oil without a supply disruption, and I reach for the antacids.
Okay, but let's talk about the actual story. Brent crude topped $90 after the first U.S.-Iran exchange of fire in a month. The Strait of Hormuz is back in headlines, and oil ETFs are already up huge year-to-date.
Up huge is right. The U.S. oil fund is up 88% year-to-date, and 97% above its 52-week low. That's not a fresh trade, Tom. That's a crowded momentum chase with a headline catalyst.
But Gerald, the point is the price move is a risk premium, not a supply shortfall. No tanker disruption, no strait closure. If a de-escalation headline hits, those CTAs that piled in could reverse hard. It's a vol trade, not a barrel trade.
See, this is exactly why I'm long energy stocks instead of just crude. The Energy Select Sector ETF is only 3% below its 52-week high, and higher crude supports earnings. It's late, but the momentum leg is credible.
Credible, buddy. You sounded the same about semis in Q2. But fine, the energy sector has legs if oil holds. Just don't tell me it's cheap.
Only Gerald could turn an oil spike into a valuation lecture.
Right. Crowded, but trend supportive.
Exactly.
That's the whole story?
And let's not ignore that ExxonMobil from our London call yesterday is looking smart. That's a nice callback if oil stays up.
Now, the Fed, Chair Warsh said inflation is still too high and summer readings haven't convinced him. Stock futures barely budged.
Barely budged because the market already priced hawkishness. But CoinDesk has the most original take today. September rate hike odds are 58%, not the 90% meme. That gap is the trade.
No, but that's exactly my point. The duration trade is in a vice. The long-term Treasury ETF is 10% below its 52-week high and only 2% above its low. Shorts are crowded, but the hawkish dollar index is near its high. If CoinDesk is right and hike fears are overblown, those shorts could squeeze.
Hold on, Gerald. Gold fell 3.2% last session. That tells you the hawkish leg is already working and may be exhausted. So the bear case on duration is priced in, but the upside trigger is a dovish surprise from CPI. It's not a one-way street.
Wait, you're both saying the same thing. Crowded shorts, possible reversal. That's a contrarian setup, not a bearish one.
Look, I'm not saying buy bonds. I'm saying don't short them here. And yeah, the dollar index last session rose 0.57%. That's real.
Separately, the FSB and Andrew Bailey warned the G20 that AI disruptions can cross borders and new frontier models need controlled release. ChatGPT, Reddit, and Roblox are now very large online platforms under the EU's Digital Services Act.
Let me guess, Gerald, you're going to say this is a non-event for earnings.
I'm going to say it's a slow burn, buddy. None of this hits near-term earnings, but it widens the regulatory overhang on AI business models. Microsoft-backed OpenAI faces the DSA, and Reddit is 46% below its high. If compliance costs show up, the margin math changes.
See, this is what I mean. The EU designation has no quantified cost yet, and the FSB warning has no enforcement date. It's not a catalyst, but it's the kind of thing that caps valuation multiples over time. Reddit and Roblox are already beaten down, so regulation competes with value.
Okay, but here's the flip side. If the FSB is thinking about controlled release, that's actually good for incumbents like Microsoft, who can afford compliance. It's a moat builder, not just a burden.
Fair point, but A moat built on compliance costs is the kind of moat that shows up in lower margins, not higher revenue.
Only Gerald could turn a regulatory moat into a margin warning.
Bloomberg says EM equities are having their best August since 2004, and the rally is broadening beyond AI leaders into commodities. The driver is the dollar debasement trade, which lifts exporter revenues.
Yeah, that's great, but the EM ETF is up 19.4% year-to-date and 6% below its high. The question is whether a record month leaves any room.
No, but that's my point. The copper ETF is only 3% below its 52-week high, and the dollar debasement trade is exactly why commodities are moving. It's a structural shift, not just a bounce.
And it's not just China or AI. It's broad. The dollar falling means exporters earn more when they convert, and commodities rally. I'm looking at the copper trade as a clean expression.
Clean until the dollar strengthens on wash. Remember, the dollar index is near its high, so the EM trade has a hedge problem.
That's true, but the point is the dollar debasement trade is a long-term narrative. Short-term dollar strength is a speed bump, not a reversal.
Speaking of dollar debasement, CoinDesk's U.S. debt metric makes Bitcoin's bull case stronger than ever. Bitcoin held 78,000 through U.S. strikes on Iran, and it's on track for its best month since November 2024, with a 24% gain.
And Ether is forming a bullish golden cross, which, if you squint, looks like six bottoms this cycle. But look, the only stated headwind is dollar strength from Fed hike bets, and CoinDesk says those hike fears are overblown. So the setup is long, but facing a hawkish test.
Wait, hold on. The crypto trade is long, but if the Fed is actually hawkish, dollar strength could break the debasement thesis. We just said that. So Bitcoin and EM are both betting on the same macro, which means it's crowded.
Crowded? Maybe, but Bitcoin held through geopolitical stress. That's new resilience, not just liquidity.
Resilience, or your average crypto bro looking at a debt chart and saying, this time is different.
Okay, fair. I've said that before, but the golden cross is technical confirmation and the U.S. debt metric is a real fundamental.
As long as we remember the disclaimer, none of this is investment advice, just opinions.
Honda and Nissan struck a software deal despite their failed merger, under pressure from Chinese EV rivals and Toyota. FT says it's defensive.
Defensive is right. Honda trades at 6.4 times forward earnings and 0.53 times book. Nissan is 4.7 times forward and 0.23 book, down 18.6% year to date. The deal doesn't fix volumes, but it lowers the cost of software-defined vehicles.
Look, the key here is that China's EV dominance is forcing legacy automakers to share costs. Honda's up 1.7% last session, so the market gets it. But Nissan still needs a volume story, not just cost sharing.
I think the software angle is underrated. Software-defined vehicles are the next battleground, and this deal gives them both a fighting chance against Chinese rivals.
As long as it's not another merger attempt that falls apart. Remember the last one? That was peak corporate awkwardness.
Good thing software doesn't have a cultural fit problem.
Wall Street reports Elf Beauty, Walmart, and Tractor Supply are plowing tariff refunds into price cuts to chase stretched consumers. Walmart's scale lets it fund cuts and gain share.
Yeah, but Elf Beauty at 27 times forward and Tractor Supply down 32% year to date face margin risk. Tariff refunds are one time, but price cuts are permanent. That's a bad trade for the smaller names.
Wait, no, this is exactly about pass-through. The agriculture ETF is at its 52-week high, signaling tariff costs hitting food prices. Walmart can absorb it, but Canadian honey producers are feeling the sting.
So the trade is Walmart for scale and the agriculture ETF for tariff pass-through. Consumers are stretched, and Walmart's price cuts steal share.
Walmart at 32 times forward doesn't exactly scream value, but okay, it's a quality compounder. Just don't call it cheap.
The takeaway? Tariff refunds are a band-aid, not a cure. Go with the names that can sustain margin pressure.
WSJ says America's biggest companies are ringing up hefty sales and raising outlooks, while record summer heat burned Europe's economy. That's a clear divergence.
The Europe ETF is 1% below its 52-week high, same as the S&P 500 ETF. But the earnings support is weaker. I'd rather be in U.S. equities on the momentum.
But heat waves are a one-off, not a structural break. Still, the earnings upgrade cycle in the U.S. is real, and the S&P ETF is up 12.6% year-to-date. The U.S. is the cleaner trade.
Nikkei Asia reports EU experts recommend working with South Korean battery makers to cut China risk. Not orders yet, just expert opinion.
South Korea ETF is up 76% year-to-date and still 18% below its high. Lithium and battery tech ETF is up 14.8%. But without confirmed orders, it's speculative.
I'm going to push back here. The structural trend is clear. The EU must decouple from China. That's a multi-year re-rating for South Korea, and China large caps at 9.6 times trailing are still exposed. The valuation is cheap, but the structural demand loss is real.
So the trade is long South Korea, watch lithium, sell China large caps, but keep conviction low until actual contracts show up. Conviction low, upside high.
Exactly.
Spot on. But the most original take today is CoinDesk's. September Fed rate hike probability is 58%, not 90. The gap between headline fear and derivatives implied odds is the trade. As that gap closes, bonds and Bitcoin should recover.
That's a single number versus a crowded narrative. I like it, but the risk is that Warsh is actually hawkish and the market is right. If September CPI comes in hot, the 58% jumps.
But that's the point, buddy. The probability is already in prices. Futures barely budged. If inflation cools, the crowded shortened bonds squeezes hard. That's an asymmetric setup.
Our view is that today's tape is a tug of war between oil and the Fed. Oil is up on a headline Hormuz flare, not barrels lost. Duration is already priced for pain. Against that, EM is up and Bitcoin held through strikes. Risk appetite is surviving on dollar debasement and liquidity, not earnings or peace.
But here's the bear case. Oil at 90 is a risk premium, not a supply event. No strait closure, no tanker disruption. A single de-escalation headline would unwind CTAs. Warsh's hawkishness is already in prices, and gold fell 3.2% last session, so the hawkish leg may be exhausted.
Wait, that's exactly our view. You're agreeing with us, Gerald. The cleanest cross-cutting expression is long oil volatility rather than long oil, because an unresolved Hormuz truer buys exposure to both de-escalation and escalation tails.
And in food, the agriculture ETF's 52-week high flags tariff pass-through that consumer staples haven't fully priced. That's a hidden opportunity.
You two are turning me into a permabull. But fine, long oil vol, watch food inflation, and don't fight the dollar debasement trade.
That's the trade.
Yeah?
Nailed it. If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources. And as always, none of this is investment advice.
We're back tomorrow, London edition, 7:30 a.m. London time. Tom, Gerald, Marie, stay bright, stay invested, and keep an eye on that oil volatility.